Blog Talk Radio.
Hold it now!
Productions presenting Black Urban America, one of the few Black-owned internet stations that focus on solutions and issues in the Black community. And my name is Kenny Jones. If you have a comment or a question, you may dial 909-265-9215 and press 1. Our lineup, Saturday, we have Provocative Thought with Carter Steed. And Tuesday evenings, myself, Black Urban America, Kenny Jones. Both shows start at 8 p.m. On Wednesday, we have The Elephant in the Room with Jamarin Harris, a.k.a. Shaka Sula. Every third Tuesday, we had, well, they'll be returning next week, T. Nathan, Melinda, and Reggie with Calm Down and Let's Discuss Racism. And this is the second Tuesday, and we'll continue our series on healthy relationships. But before we get into the guest tonight, well, she's not a guest anymore. She come on the show every monthly. Don't forget, this is Black History Month. I hope everyone is attending lectures, workshops, and events, and remembering our elders who have fought the fight for the struggles in our community. And also, for all of you guys that will continue to fight the struggle to enrich and improve the development of the African-American community. I know some of y'all don't like saying African-American, so I'll say African-American / Black community. Now tonight, returning, talking about enriching and developing, this sister does this on a daily basis. Not only in her community, but across the country. And also, she has her, I mean, she's coming on TV shows, news shows. This woman is all over the place trying to develop relationships in our communities across this country. Because I feel we need positive relationships. We have to know how to deal with our women, our men, and our children. Now, tonight, as you all know, some of you that's regular listeners, and some of you that are new tonight, welcome, Miss Ann Dillard. How you doing this evening?
Hey, Mr. Kenny Jones, I'm well. How are you?
I'm fine.
Excellent.
So are you in town or are you somewhere on the West Coast or the Midwest? If you're in the Midwest, you're stuck in a lot of snow.
I know. I'm looking at all that snow and saying, I'm glad I moved out of the Midwest. I'm in town.
I go back quite often, on a regular basis.
Not during the winter. No, sir.
You mean to tell me you hibernate?
From Minnesota, yeah, absolutely. I'm in Georgia. No. I actually look at the weather and say, I can't believe I lived in that.
I'm from the Northeast, and we get hit hard also.
Yes.
And what are we doing what are we going to be discussing, exploring this evening?
All right. Well, you know, February is Teen Dating Violence Awareness Month. Teen Dating Violence Awareness Month. Yes.
Let me ask you something.
Mm-hmm.
Are there any statistics on which part of the country have the most teen dating violence?
You know what? That's a really good question. I have never looked that up.
Because being from the Northeast, that is like really, really looked down upon. And we try to correct young men as well as men that like to lay hands.
Oh.
But as I've been living in this area of the country, I don't want to say, I find a lot of women are suffering from either they're in a current violent situation, they lived in a violent situation.
Right.
So it goes all the way back to adolescence. So educate us, Ms. Ann.
And you know, it's amazing. Like I said, I've never done it based on geographic boundaries, but that would be an interesting study to look up.
I saw an idea out there for maybe a collaboration.
Oh yeah, that's a really good idea.
Yeah.
Absolutely, because you know this is a really big issue, and when we look at it, 1/3 of high school students have been in an abusive relationship.
One third.
Those are astounding statistics. 1/3 of high school students have been in an abusive relationship. 1 in 4 teens who have been in a serious relationship.
One out of four teens?
say that they have been pressured to only spend time with their partner. So, you know, before we unpack that a little bit, we're going to talk about what is teen dating violence, or what is teen dating abuse. You know, we look at
now,
it.
When you say, you just keep on saying teens.
Teens.
What gender?
Like,
okay, we all know what gender. But I'm just going to ask for the sake of it. What gender are we talking about that is one third of high school students and one out of four that receives pressure?
You know, a lot of times we think about it as that the male is the one abusing, but there's a high number of female abusers.
Oh, females are abusers? Is
absolutely.
That a new phenomenon?
No, that's nothing new. That's nothing new. A lot of times is on men. Well, look at it. If you look in the adult relationship, there are female abusers in domestic situations.
Carlton was trying to explain that on Saturday to one of his guests, and one of his mm-hmm. guests was saying that the whole idea of men coming forward, young men and men
yes.
coming forward, and saying they've been abused, society will laugh
uh-huh.
at them and call them a wuss, I would say,
yeah.
or a punk
uh-huh.
and everything. So the whole notion of stereotypical regularity is that women suffer at the hands of men, but you are reinforcing what Carlton was speaking about Saturday night. There are men in our country that are suffering from violence.
Yes, and they're suffering. A lot of them are suffering in silence because of the ridicule, because of the stigma associated with that.
Wow.
Yeah, isn't that something? So when we look at it, you know, there are three different forms that are prevalent. The three main forms of teen dating violence come in physical, emotional, and sexual.
Now, can you go in detail about some of the physicalness, emotional, and sexual one that some that might trigger these different areas
mm-hmm.
in violence? Because I want people to know that the violence is not only abuse is not only physical; it's
exactly.
emotional as well. You know,
exactly.
as well as sexual.
Absolutely. So when we look at it, okay, let's look at the physical aggression, right? That and verbal aggression. And some people might say, well, he's not or she's not abusing me. You know, they just talk rough to me sometimes. That's verbal aggression. And that's abusive, or coercion, you know, somebody making you or coercing you into doing something that you don't want to do. And so, you know.
When you go back to verbal aggression, right, are you
yes.
talking about name-calling as well, or bullying?
Name-calling is huge. Name-calling is huge. Put-downs. Threats, those are huge. Blaming somebody, and those things are huge. And so when you go ahead,
blaming, like what does that look
blaming.
Like?
Blaming, yeah.
Blaming.
Oh, blaming.
Like you're the reason why I lost my
fault.
Job. You're the reason why I didn't make the football team or something like that, or the volleyball team.
Yeah, you're the reason why I didn't pass my test. You know, if you weren't so dumb, or if you did this and all of that, you're the reason why my mother kicked me out. Whatever the case may be, you're the reason.
Before you go on, Miss Ann, I want to ask a question. If a kid, let's say a kid is like 6, 7, 8 years old, witness their parents having physical or emotional abuse, right? When that kid becomes like dating age, 14, 15, 16 years old, do you think that he may have attributes of being violent in a relationship?
Absolutely, because kids do what they learn. They do what they see. And so that is the model of relationship that they're having. And you know what? It all comes back to healthy relationships. What we're talking about, what we're here talking about every second Tuesday, is about learning how to form and execute and participate in healthy relationships.
Do you recommend anyone? What do you say to people that continuously, you know, like, hey, I say to myself, a woman ain't gonna never make me feel sad again. Well, what do you say to young ladies that continuously, as well as older women, that continuously get involved with men or young men that get involved, continue to get involved in abusive relationship? Because I got to correct myself by saying men and women, because
even
lesbian and homosexual relationships, they have
same dynamics, and guess what? A lot of times those, I believe they have a higher number of being reported, because a lot of times people don't want their sexuality to be revealed. And so the abuser will use that as psychologically to keep abusing, because it's like, if you tell, I'm going to out you. If you know, things like that. So it becomes, they experience that psychological abuse also.
Hold on, Ms. Ann. Hey, everybody that listens by laptop, if you have a question or a comment, you could dial 909-265-9215 and press 1. Go ahead, Ms. Ann.
Yes. So when we look at it, you know, okay, so I talked about the physical. Physical is the hitting, the spitting, the scratching, you know, the slapping, the kicking, choking. Choking is a big one. And, you know, like strangulation, that's a big one. A lot of abusers use that method because it's hard to see physical evidence of strangulation.
Wow.
So strangulation, that's one form of physical. Spitting on somebody, that's, you know, do you know how demeaning that is? And so that's a form also of physical abuse.
Wow.
Yeah, and then when we look at emotional abuse, you know, again, remember we talked last time about withholding affection, that silent treatment, all of that contributes to emotional abuse.
So if one partner don't feel like talking, or let's say one partner is experiencing some type of issue,
mm-hmm.
and he comes home, or he don't express himself to his mate, or that person don't express themselves to their mate, that's a form of emotional abuse?
Well, yeah, because guess what? That mate can feel rejected, left out, all different kinds of things can be going on, and you don't know what their history is their history of relationship is that can trigger.
Mm.
And that's a form of control also. I'm not going to talk to you because you didn't cook my dinner right, or I'm not going to talk to you because you didn't, if we're talking about a team, you didn't do my homework for me, or, you know, whatever the case may be.
So, well, hold up. Let me put you in a scenario. Suppose one of the two is angry.
Mm-hmm.
And it might take him a couple days to cool down, because if he says something, he might say something negative. He might do some name calling. He might do some blaming. He might do it because that boy or girl have a little temper, have some anger issues.
Mm-hmm.
So they need to calm down before they can address the issue. So they don't want to communicate right there and there. It takes them a day or two. So, but not communicate, you're saying that's a form of aggression.
Well, not necessarily a form of aggression, but I'm saying, how do you use that? Are you using that as a way of control? Now, if I'm angry with my spouse and I don't want to talk about it, and it takes me a couple of days to, you know, calm down, to bring myself together to think about it before I say something that's more damaging, here is where the healthy relationship comes in. You have to have healthy dialogue. So you say, you know what, I don't really want to talk about it right now, but let me get back to you in a couple of days.
Oh, okay. I see what you're saying. Okay.
You see what
so,
I mean? So healthy communication goes hand in hand with healthy relationships.
Not wanting to communicate to get back at you is a form of control. Knowing that person. Okay. All right. Especially if that other person don't like it.
Right. And you know you're going to get under their skin.
Okay. Well, that's a whole.
Yeah,
I guess it's a whole lot of. I guess there's a whole lot of verbal abuse going on in these relationships, because that's common.
And you know what? And when we look at in our own backyards, we see a lot of common stuff that's not right. It's not healthy. It's toxic. And we need to do something about it. And we need to change that narrative for our future, our children who are watching us and then coming up behind us to exemplify those behaviors.
So what do you tell these young ladies or these young folks on how to handle we didn't hit the sexual thing. Oh, I hit the sexual thing.
Oh, no, sexual, that's a big deal. And then I want to talk about some signs, too. What are some of the signs that parents can look for?
Okay, great.
The sexual part. Do you know that the sexual, first of all, dating abuse is a controlling behavior in which a partner uses control to gain power over the other partner, right? So sexually, do you know the statistics for sexual is 1 in 3?
1 in 3? Hold up.
Yep.
You mean to tell me one out of three teens
who's
is being sexually
abused
by their partner?
It's a form of sexual abuse. So sexual abuse, what does that look like? It's like forcing somebody to have sex with you or do different kinds of sexual acts against your will. Or you hear about date rapes, right?
Right.
That's very common. But here's the piece that really gets me. And all these things that's happening, only 67% of these teenagers will report it or tell somebody.
You said only 67%?
Will tell somebody about it.
Okay, so because irony, some individual blame themselves. Oh, I should have been there. Oh, I drank
exactly.
a little too much. Why did they, when I saw these people come in the car, I should have jumped out the car and ran, or that person might take them someplace, they don't know where they're at, so they really under the person control.
And then, exactly, and then there's a lot of shame that goes along with it. And get a load of this one, 80%. Of teens who are being abused, 80% of girls who have been abused keep dating their abuser.
I believe that. That's equivalent to women that stay in domestic violent relationships.
Exactly. So they
now,
grow up.
Does that go back?
Stay.
Maybe that's go back to what they were exposed to as a child?
Absolutely, because again, whether it's what they were exposed to as a child or what they believe now about themselves and about relationship, that has a great impact on it, because what happens is when somebody is being abused, you can develop certain kind of mental health issues. So as a result of being abused, low self-esteem, depression, suicidal thoughts, or even attempts, and self-harming behaviors, all kinds of things like that, because you don't know how to deal with the abuse.
Okay. I think, Ms. Ann, you might have a question or a caller.
Okay.
Hold on for a second.
All right.
Good evening. Welcome to Black Up America. Do you have a question or comment for Ms. Ann?
You can hear me?
Yeah, 0272. Yes.
Oh, yeah, what's up with your brother, Kenny?
Hey, Shaka, what's happening?
And how you doing, sister?
I'm doing well, brother. God bless you. How are you?
I'm doing great. I had raised my hand because you had said something real that was very real that resonated with me, and that was like basically like, what are we left to, like the person that something happened to, the things and the trauma that happened to us? And because the show that I have tomorrow at 8 p.m. Eastern time on The Elephant in the Room, which is my show, is the subject matter is going to be, why do black folks like to sweep things under the rug?
Mm.
And so when you were just saying what you were just saying, and I was just speaking to my cousin recently, and he was just talking about how his child's mother, because he had messed around with her when she was 12 years old and he was 19.
Oh, wow.
And after that, she had two more children by him, but three in all. And so when he be telling me things about, because he has changed, but he be telling me things like, she doesn't do this, she keep bringing up what I did to her when she was young. Ain't nobody thinking about that, because that was in the past. And I had to correct him. Because what happened in the past did not stay in the past.
That's right.
And what you gave her, y'all handed that girl a grenade. For her to hold on to that grenade, and y'all pulled the pins out, and you got on about your damn business. And y'all left her to deal with it by herself. So as a child, as a 12-year-old that she was. She don't know about sex. She don't know about raising children. Her mother wasn't there. Her father wasn't there. You see?
Yeah.
So that leads the grenade to the child, and they explode in many different ways.
Transform. And guess who's impacted?
It's impacted in so many ways. So if somebody was kept in their room all their life and they wasn't let out their room until they were 21 years old, the average person wouldn't know that they were. Only the people that, and I'm saying that for a reason, only the people that know that raised them or that was raised around them, they knew what happened to that person. But the average person don't know what happened to that person, meaning that we don't deal with the root of where things came from, what yeah. makes someone act certain ways. And we don't get
right.
family counseling. We don't get therapy.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's the thing
yeah.
about it. Because when I told my friend, and I'm about to stop on this, I told my friend, he was telling me, because he was with the same woman for over 22 years. And he said, yeah, because they live on welfare. And he was saying that, man, I don't need to get married, man, because I got problems. And I'm like, what problems you got? He said, with women. But mind you, he don't have sex with other women. He just, I don't know, he's been conditioned in a certain way. And I was telling him, he said, well, I got this problem. I ain't seen my other children, and this happened and that happened. And I was like, well, why don't you go get family counseling? He flipped on me and cursed me out. He said, and I'm not picking on my friend. My friend is a representative of people that think like this, of black folks that think like this. He said, why would I go to a therapist or a counselor when I know more about myself when that person knows than that person? And I told him, you're right. But that person's expertise kick in once you tell them the truth and you tell them everything that you claim that you're telling them the truth on. That's when that person's expertise will kick in to help you. We need help.
Exactly.
And so that's all I'm saying, sister.
Exactly. And the thing about it, then what happens? The kids see this and they grow up with this and this belief, right? And somebody who don't know that this 12-year-old been in a relationship with a grown man, have three kids by this grown man, can't tell from the outside. Then they get in a relationship with her and inherit all of that stuff. And this
exactly. In certain areas, I want to say that's a common thing around the United States, but I know in certain cities that I have lived, that is very common. And I mean, very, very
right, brother.
Common. And where you try to bring in authorities to try to address the situation, they're overlooking because it's a regular phenomena in that area. Hey, Shaq, I got another call, man. You want to hang on?
Yeah, I'm hanging. I had one more thing to say real fast because,
All right,
for example, I'm going to give my personal story. I'm going to give the same story tomorrow on my show at 8 p.m. every Wednesday, the elephant in the room. I was a victim, not a child molestation in terms of the family sweeping things under the rug. I was a victim of being lied to of who was my father. I'm 38 years old, and I didn't know who my father was until I was 27. And I found out through my mother's older sister, but I found out how she said what she said through her older son, which is my first cousin. So him and his wife came to me. They were crying, and I'm like, man, what the hell? Like, do I got AIDS or something? What the hell? So they were crying. They were like, nah, man. They were like, man, your dad, my mom was saying that your dad, she should be ashamed of herself because she know that the dude that's supposed to be your dad is not your dad. So I started researching it. I ended up taking a blood test last year. And so before I took the blood test, mind you, I'm a victim like a person that was child molested, but in a different way. And the person that was child molested, you bring it up at a family reunion and somebody, how should you talk about that? How dare you? And so I was a victim in my own way. So when I found out who my dad was and through the blood test that the person wasn't my dad, people in my family would cut me off. They ostracized me. How dare you embarrass your mom? I didn't ask to be born. I'm a victim. I have a grandmother that I don't even know that's my grandmother. I have a grandfather that I don't even know that's my grandfather. And when I met the father, that's my father now, we have a good relationship. And his daughter was killed the year before I found out he was my dad. And so my whole purpose of bringing that up is, because tomorrow's show is why do black families like to sweep things under the rug? Because when you sweep things under the rug, it never went anywhere. Somebody going to come across you in your life that's going to bring those things from up under your rug. You know?
Yeah.
And so,
well, look at the R. Kelly story. Look at all those victims of teenagers who were being abused. And look, the whole community swept it under the rug.
Yeah.
And well,
we need to pull up the rug and throw the whole thing away.
That's right. But thank y'all. I love my people. I thank you, sister, and I love y'all's story and everything. I just want to give my commentary.
Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
All right, you're welcome.
Okay. On the next line, we have the last four numbers, 1632. Welcome to Black Urban America.
Hi, Kenny.
Hey.
It's Jay Hessen.
Jay, how are you?
I'm great.
Oh,
and you?
Jay, me, and me, Jay.
Hey, Jay.
Jay Hessen. It's been a long time. It's been something for a few months now. It's been a minute.
It has been a while. You know,
Jay is the executive director of this community center in Florida. Had a dance group, culture group. She worked with a lot of girls. She worked with many girls. Okay, go ahead, Jay.
Yeah.
I'm just take a look. I'll just sit back and listen to y'all. Okay, go ahead.
Well, it's good to hear from you, Kenny.
Check this out, ladies. I got my pencil and paper in hand taking notes. Okay.
I'm glad you two ladies meeting.
Yeah. You know, y'all two ladies could do a lot of things together. I mean, both of y'all travel, do a bunch of stuff for our sister all over the country, and that's what We Talk with Dutch is all about, hooking people up to enrich our community. Go ahead, Jay. Go ahead. Go talk to Suzanne.
That's exactly right. And, you know, so many Tuesdays, things have just been crazy. So much stuff going on. And so tonight when I got the text, I said, oh, this is great. I can listen in the night. So, Ann, I got a chance to listen to some of what you was talking about. I didn't come in exactly at 8, but I think it's wonderful that you are expressing many of the different forms of abuse, because oftentimes we do think of physical. You know, you think
exactly.
of putting hands on, you think of sexual. But I know myself, some of the things that have lasted throughout my life have been things that people have said. You know, that just never went away. And, you know, you always have to, you know, kind of combat it, analyze it, and push it to the back and say, I can't let other people define me. And so some of the things you brought up was, you know, as I was listening, I said, that's very important. And I'm loving what you're doing, because education is key. And you can never be too young. Yeah, to be learning about, you know, how to fortify yourself. And oftentimes the put-downs, things that people say, you also mentioned how people blame you and how they give you the silent treatment. And for someone like myself, I'm a communicator, so I'm always talking, how you doing, you know, what's going on. And, you know, I love that interaction and feedback. So when someone intentionally cuts that off as punishment,
it gets abusive. And so
it's important that we learn those signs, because now I was sitting and listening to you. I said, now, see, if I had known that 20 years ago, I could have told my husband, you being abusive right now, because he used to go through solid treatment a lot. And eventually, you know, where I am in my life, I said, there's too many wonderful things in life to explore than to, you know, be going through that. Now, some people are willing to work on issues because it could be mores or things that they grew up with. You know, their daddy did it, their granddaddy did it, so now they're doing it. But, you know, education is key, communication is key, you know, so it is really important. The things that you were talking to tonight, my five-year-old girls need to hear that, because when you five and up, because when they encounter those situations, you know, because we have our intuition, we have our gut feeling, you know. You may not know, you may not be able to qualify, quantify, or express it or explain it, but you know deep down inside when you feel hurt, when someone wronged you. So now they would be able to identify and say, said, you know what? What you said to me hurt my feelings, and it was a put down, and it's a form of abuse. Please don't do it again. And
right.
then that empowers
right.
hey, you.
Jay, let me piggyback on that, because you're saying some really, really good stuff right here. Now, the thing about it, when we're talking about the intuition that your five-year-old have, why is it then that we as adults keep squashing that? No, shut up and go sit down. Go sit down somewhere. You don't have no feeling. I'm telling you how to feel. So they're feeling it, and their intuition
yeah.
is telling it. But when we
yeah.
counter that over and over and over with negativity, that stops them from tuning in and listening to their intuition.
Yes. That's exactly right, especially when they feel that nobody's going to help them. And even with the younger ones, when they come in and they say, oh, so-and-so, they're crying. I say, what's the matter? So-and-so said this to me. I said, they did? Hold on, let's address it. I'll go get so-and-so. So-and-so,
yes.
This kid said that you hurt their feelings when you said that. Why did you do that? And then they'll explain why they did it. And then the other person
right.
will explain how it made them feel when they did that. So we allow that process for them to communicate and articulate and to be able to share the information. And then once everybody has a chance to vent and express how they feel, then say, okay, what are we going to do about it now? We want everybody to be happy here. So what do you think you need to do? Well, I need to apologize to that person because I made them feel bad. Okay, well, apologize. And then they hug and they move on. Then they outside playing. But those processes need to happen. That's one of the reasons, and I'm going to say this, and I'm going to jump, say it, and leave. That's one of the reasons why African Americans are having the problems that they have in this country, because we never had a chance to be validated and never had a chance to be recognized for all the things that have gone on in our history here in America.
Mm.
And it's still constantly being pushed. So we're going to continue to have problems as long as we're denied the opportunity. We can say it, but people are saying get over it.
Absolutely. Well, let me ask y'all, ladies. Let me ask you something. Do y'all feel? Do any of you feel that having unhealthy relationship within the families prohibit progress of the community overall?
Absolutely. That's like
Absolutely.
A given. And then the
yeah.
community uphold the same toxic behavior.
Yeah.
And so
Absolutely.
We have to do better. Yes, there's historical trauma. And we can also learn something and move beyond it. I'm not saying forget that this has happened. But I'm saying that you can choose sometimes to make some different choices.
Okay.
Absolutely. Once you're educated, you become knowledgeable. But, you know, it has to be a conscious effort.
Exactly.
You know, things like what you're talking about, Anne, you know, you have to go all across this country, you know, having this discussion and educating people, because it is so important. It's so crucial, and it's one of the reasons why everybody's talking about mental health right now.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, they may not be addressing mental health the way we used to address it back in the day, because,
mm-hmm.
thank you, okay, because back in the day, when we had issues of that magnitude, you know, we'd be in the kitchen cooking and talking together and, you know, telling stories or while we're doing our hair, and there would be opportunities, communal opportunities to kind of vent, to kind of go through it, to kind of discuss it. You know, in a lot of instances, you know, yeah, we have those circles that we talk about, but, you know, the real true issues are not being addressed. There's you have a lot of people that are doing it, but there are so many that are not. And because
That's
I work
right.
in the community with, you know, hundreds of families and children, you know, I see the whole gamut. I see the families, you know, you have the two-parent homes, and, you know, the parents are attentive. They do a lot of things with the kids. And I see the homes where the kids, the parents are gone all weekend, and the kids are fitting for themselves, you know. So
Absolutely.
You have that gamut in our community. So what's going to be the process of assessing the needs and providing help to a lot of these families, because it perpetuates. Once that 12-year-old or that 13-year-old has a baby, and then, you know, everybody's raising it, and then that child, when they get older, they have 3, 4, 5 kids, you know, 12, 13, 14, You know, Ann brought up a fact before about how people confront the other gentleman was talking about, you know, something that happens at a young age with someone at 12 years old, and then they continue on. I personally have been fighting grown men off since I was 12 years old.
Yeah, absolutely.
Fighting them off. Relatives, friends of relatives, people in the community, constantly having to tell them to get away, stop talking to me like that since I've been 12.
Yes.
So I
know
it exists.
You know, black girls are adultified at a larger, more alarming rate, much younger than their white counterparts.
Right, that's true. That's true.
And they are as young as 5 years old. Black girls are sexualized, and they and so the thing about it is, if society is telling you you're fast, you're grown, and you're looking like what is that supposed to mean, and putting those kinds of labels on you instead of protecting you.
Well, the promiscuity of the community is not helping. I remember we was coming up, when they talking about strip clubs, that was only for the seedy, dirty old men.
Right.
Yeah.
Now you look down upon, if you don't go to the strip clubs, it's accepted.
Right. Exactly.
Matter of fact, one celebrity that is looked up by young girls who proudly say that started the strip club.
Mm-hmm.
It's okay.
Yeah.
We had
an event
and
at
I'm our not calling
center,
names, y'all, but everybody knows who I'm talking about.
Yeah, well, they were saying after this event, they had a big party, hundreds of people here, and they said, okay, the party's about to end, now we got to go to Diamond Dolls.
Oh.
Women, men, everybody was packing up to go to Diamond Dolls, and the women, you know. And so when you look at what's going on in society, you know, you do have to at some point understand that you might be part of the problem, you know, and assess
Absolutely.
The things that are going on and get your life together. Because,
the thing is, if you're not a part of the solution, Jay, you're a part of the
problem.
Part of that
problem.
Go ahead.
I'm sorry.
This is good stuff. Now you got me all geared up here. But JB, while I have you on, another form of teen dating violence that's new to some parents is technology violence and abuse.
That's been big for the past four years.
Technology abuse. Oh, my goodness. And I'm not just talking about being, you know, on your phone a lot. I'm talking about abusing you, stalking you, tracking you, going into your emails, going into your social media accounts, and you have to give me your password if you love me, and tracking you and controlling you by use of technology.
Yeah, I met a guy in Africa. I haven't seen him in over 15 years, and he called me the other night.
Mm.
Through my messenger.
Wow.
So I didn't answer the phone. You know, I'm like, but he had been, like, tracking where was she, you know, and you're exactly right. And so that's another form of education, another way that we have to, you know, become educated. You know, I didn't trip out about it. I just said, oh, wow, he's acting thirsty. But, you know, I just blew it off. But you never know which one of those people. You never know when one of those people that happens to do that will manage to become
thirsty. He was acting very thirsty.
So So, you never know when people are going to start. I mean, for a younger person, that could be very intimidating and overwhelming.
Yeah.
You know, so education is highly important and key in a lot of instances. And
and education about healthy relationships. What is healthy
exactly.
And what is not? Because
exactly.
It's done in the community and it's been like that and it's real popular, doesn't make it right.
That's right.
Let me ask y'all both a question. Let me ask you both a question. And Shaki, if you're still there, you could chime in on this too. Do the hashtag MeToo movement is missing the boat here, or they need to include? Because there was a controversy about 3 weeks ago about The View and whatnot, and what was the original purpose of the hashtag MeToo movement, which was started by our sisters, but as everything else took over by other cultures, the hashtag MeToo movement missing the point because of the takeover, or we need to separate and really focus because the purpose of the hashtag MeToo movement was talked about what you talked about. The teen dating, the sexualization of little girls, of the adultify of little girl, black girls, the protection of little black girls.
Well, let me tell you this. I don't rely on any one movement to bear the burden of all the issues that we have as women or as black folks. Or as teenagers, I can't put all my stock in just one movement. I think that we, yes, have the movement to do what they can do, but as communities, we need to step up and be more aware, be more active. So, yes, they're doing what they're doing, and yes, we need more people doing stuff around this issue. That's
awesome. I agree totally, and you know the Me Too it had its purpose. It was getting traction and drawing attention to issues, and you know, and that's great. And they'll be going off and they'll be writing grants and they'll be speaking and they'll be doing a whole bunch of other things. But I know in this community, I have to look out for these little girls here. The Me Too could possibly help them overall. But these children need education, they need support, they need help, they need people that will listen to them right here, right now, boots on the ground. So,
exactly.
And for that reason, I agree with you totally that, you know, we all have to do our part. You know,
exactly.
That could be the ultimate concept, but we all have to chip in and make sure that we're a lot more conscientious and, you know, we're educating not just our girls, definitely, our women, but educating
our men,
because these boys are being preyed upon as well, you know, and so we have to educate them and, you know, the legislatures that, you know, that are doing other things, you know, they need to make sure that people are held accountable. A police officer that's raping a 16-year-old girl, he needs to go to jail.
Exactly. So it's
to be off, get around and walk around and make everybody pray. Yeah. So, you know, there's a whole bunch of things that need to be done. But, you know, everybody can only, you know, work with what's in their hands. And so whatever you have in your hands to work, you need to work it.
Exactly. And like we said before, you know, stop sweeping, like Brother Shaka said, don't stop sweeping it under the rug. Throw the whole rug away. And let's get some healing happening in our community.
Yeah.
Okay,
well, you know,
I can have to close now.
That's right. That's how
go ahead.
You know, and the other thing, too, when the gentleman was talking about the black sweeping things under the rug, you know, unfortunately, it's all cultures. I mean, I'm African, I'm Native American, I'm Irish. You know, I have Jamaican, I have Dominican, and so in all of those different facets, it's the same story.
Yeah,
you know,
absolutely.
It's the same situation. So it's not relegated to skin color or ethnicity. It's all around the world. So, you know, people in general need to address issues and not sweep them up under the rug, especially when it's harming our children, it's harming our families, and harming our community.
And it's forming, it's generational. It has a generational impact.
Yes. Yes.
Absolutely.
And I'm going to let you have the last word.
Well, Mr. Kenny Jones, once again, we had a very engaging conversation, and I think we have to pay attention to our teens. Look at the signs. You know, familiarize yourself with the signs of domestic or teen dating violence. You know, if they're checking their phones all the time and you know, feeling like your teenager is being pulled away from the family, being held in isolation, that is a red flag, right? That is a red flag. If you notice that there's drastic mood swings, they're failing grades, you know, their grades have gone down, and you see unexplained marks on them, that, you know, that's a sign for concern. That is a sign for
again,
concern.
And I got to thank you for doing these series. This was very engaging tonight. And I guess I'll be watching you on social media. I hope that's not abuse. I'll be watching you now. Always to learn, see what you're doing, you know, see what I can work, because sometimes I make comments, you know.
Yeah,
so,
well, that's not abuse. Now, let's clear. Abuse is when you control somebody using different methods.
So, I'll go see you next month, right?
See you next month, as usual.
All right. Folks, again, that was Ann Dillon giving that good information, and I appreciate Jay and Shaka for participating in our conversation. And again, I just want to end on this note. I will be reaching out to self-employed people. No, We Talk Productions will be reaching out to self-employed people, small business owners, for sponsorship as well as advertisement, because, you know, it costs to do this, and we could do other activities, what have you. And again, all the people that download the shows and listen to the show, again, that I appreciate all the support. But now we could get ready to go to the next level. So as always, I am because you are. You are because I am. Good night. And have a wonderful week. And Mr. Shaka tomorrow. Okay? So good night, everybody.